For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. So I'll tell you, we were beginning just off the air. Jeffrey and I are having a little bit of a philosophical discussion. Because one of the things that one of the great things about working here at 92.9 is that we have the Grizzlies, the flagship station for the Memphis Grizzlies, the radio flagship for the Memphis Grizzlies. And so we have Eric Castletine's call. And after nights of triumph, we can play all the triumphant moments.
Not as much recently, but yes.
But it did occur to me. Because Eric, one of the things I love about Eric, is he gets as irritated with the Grizzlies when they misfire as y'all do, as any fan cursing on the couch. And so I wondered what the 5-second call would sound like as narrated by Eric Castletine. And Jeffrey went and found it.
And I didn't have to wonder.
And he listened.
I know my friend.
And he listened. And he said, I think we should just play the intro music and then just hit the Castletine. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that to people. I can't. I haven't heard it yet. But I'm like, I can't do that to people at the beginning. I got to say good morning, happy Wednesday.
Do you?
I can't hit them with that right out of the gate. And so we will get to it. We will play it. I will hear it the first time. The same. Some of you were probably listening on the radio. You were either driving around, or maybe you had the broadcast on and the sound cut off, and you could listen to Eric. And so we will listen to it together, and it's really be part of our group therapy, exposure therapy. It's exposure therapy, is what it is, and we will do that.
Meet the crisis head on
in just a little bit. Today on the radio show, we got John Martin in the next segment. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He's got his thoughts on this. I don't think it's up yet. I was looking for it this morning, but it'll go up shortly. You won't want to miss Chris's thoughts on this. Chris Harrington's thoughts will go up at the Daily Memphian fairly soon. And then Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian will join us for a little break from Grizzlies talk. So that is the lineup for today. It is much easier for me these mornings, even after nights of crushing disappointment, now that I'm not staying up till 3 writing about the event, right? But this is my experience. Like, the game ended before midnight, and that's late, but it's not, you know, you can still get some sleep in before the morning commences, although you have a little one. The problem is, Jeffrey, and see if you agree with this, the game ends. You can't just go to sleep.
Yes.
Who could possibly just go to sleep?
The game ends before midnight.
You got at least an hour of winding down.
And especially in an emotional, like, you're wired.
Oh, yeah, this isn't playing the Clippers in right. game 52, where you just wake up the next morning and see what happens, or where you can shrug off a loss and go to sleep and get sleep. This is all of those things happened.
Correct.
All of those things happened last night. The things that thrilled you, the things that outraged you, the things that disappointed you, the things to try to process. There's no chance. If you really watched that game and were invested in this game, you were not asleep by midnight.
No.
One, you think?
I don't know how everybody can wind down, but I would think it would at least take a 30-minute cool down.
I would think at least a 30-minute cool down. And so if we're all a little groggy this morning, that is understandable. So, have we all braced ourselves? Because it was an epic, epic game last night. It was epic, and we have a lot to discuss, and I will, in fact, give you all the opportunity to discuss it as well. But it ended. Grizzlies a chance to tie, down three, after this epic performance. Santi Aldama inbounding the ball. And here's Eric Hasseltine on the call.
It'll be Aldama to trigger the inbounds. Grizzlies looking to set screens across the floor from Aldama. Here's Morant breaking to the ball. Aldama's got to get it in.
Five-second call. No.
That play took way too long. That's the ball game, folks. 5.4 seconds left. A five-second call on Santi Aldama.
Michael, Santi.
That play took too long to develop. The Grizzlies were very lackadaisical about going to go get the ball.
They had Kennard open below the three-point line and chose not to pass it to him because they were looking for a three.
Warriors will go to Houston. Grizzlies will come home Friday and host either Dallas or Sacramento. 5.4 seconds left, out of timeouts. Unless they steal an inbounds pass here. Nope, it gets into Curry. That's the ball game. Curry's fouled, 3.4 left.
Oh, such a gut-wrenching way for this game to be decided, man.
The Grizzlies have done that all year.
Got one with Scottie on the other side.
Yeah, but
right?
They just said they've done it all year. Yeah. All year long, their out-of-bounds plays take way too long to develop. You have 5 seconds. You don't think that they were looking for that? You don't think Steve Kerr said, watch the 5 seconds after what happened? Come on, man. Curry ends the ball game right there, 120 to 116.
And they allowed Luke Kennard to come free inside the three-point arc. And yep. Santi didn't take that one.
They'll give you the two. They're going to tackle you the minute you catch the ball.
Three, right. But you got to get the ball in if that's the case, though. You still got 5 seconds left once the ball is inbounded.
Michael, let me go back to what happened. Curry makes them both. They lazily ran to set the screens. Nobody went hard. They took their time. They didn't have time to take. Bain left wing. Ball game. Final tonight, 121-116. Warriors win it. Grizzlies will have to win on Friday to advance to the postseason. It'll be either Sacramento or Dallas. We'll come back with postgame thoughts after this on the Grizzlies Radio Network.
Well, he did not disappoint.
Chef was cooking.
Not disappoint.
Just knowing him, I can even feel his blood pressure raising. Like just seeing his face get redder.
That's what you want for your play-by-play guy.
Absolutely.
He's
the voice of you.
And he's the voice of you. Oh, my God. Now, let's take that first. Let's take the inbounds play first. Unacceptable, right? 100% unacceptable.
Yes, you have to get the ball in.
I mean, you don't have to have gone to Duke to know.
Correct.
That you have to get the ball
in. But you have to go to Duke to play for the Grizzlies. Right.
You have to get the freaking ball in. And it is interesting. Isolo, afterward, said that he thought there was a window to get it to Bane. When I run that play back, I didn't see the window across court to get the thing on the other to Bane. I didn't see it. Luke was standing in the corner. Jaren was not at all. He was just, tied up, dancing, wrestling, whatever. And so then there was Ja, who in fairness had the ankle.
Yeah.
Like would he have been more explosive, nimble, whatever else, but for the ankle? But like in the end, it just came down to that was really the only option they had was Ja springing free. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people to blame on that play. Santi has to let go of it no matter what.
You got to at least
like get the... In the end, you have to let go of the ball.
Correct.
But if you're looking at, if you're doing a scorecard on Isolo, right? And I do think these things, you
sure.
know, this is, you're doing a, you know, didn't cover himself in glory when he get a 5-second call.
No, out of a timeout?
Out of a timeout. Now, would they have made a shot? Odds were against him.
You got to at least take one.
But you got to at least take one. You got to at least take one. So it was such a frustrating, demoralizing way for that game to end. And in the end, if you want to see the game as a microcosm of the season, fast start, check,
yep. right?
Fast start, check, too many turnovers, check, critical injury, check, and collapsing down the stretch, check.
And no scoring late.
And no scoring late. So there was a lot of elements there that should not have surprised
us.
Oh,
we forgot. Turnovers.
I said turnovers.
Okay.
Yeah. I said turnovers. I think the turnovers, honestly, as much as anything, the turnovers is why they lost the game.
Yes.
And it's not just, by the way, I mean, so they get off to the 11-2 start, and you're like, whoa, baby, it's on. Who came to play?
Wait for it.
And then you have the 20-2 run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was two things. That was Jimmy Butler torching Zach Edey, but it was largely turnovers. Like mm-hmm. that was a turnover inspired run. And then you're like, okay, well, whatever. They've settled down. They heroically, and I do think it was gutty as hell to come back from 20 down to take the lead, to silence that crowd. Given the injury, everything else, it was gutty as hell.
Totally agree.
But turnovers at the end, too. In fact, Jeffrey and I were talking about this.
Yeah, we weren't arguing. We're in agreement.
We were in agreement about this. Jeffrey, what was the key play of the game? Was the key play of the game the 5-second call?
No, I believe that the key play of the game was the Grizzlies get the stop, they're in transition, and Ja has the ball, and he makes a very casual pass at best. Ball gets swiped, and Steph comes down and buries a three. That to me was the game.
That was the game. It was with 2:05 left in the game. The Grizzlies are down 111-109. Back and forth,
yep.
back and forth. And yes, there were calls that weren't made. There were calls that were made. There was the phantom foul on Pippen. A lot of stuff had gone on there, right? A lot of stuff had gone on.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
With just over 2 minutes left, 111-109, Grizzlies in transition, and Ja turns the ball over. It was just a bad pass. It was, and Steph buries it. And from that point on, I mean, it was an uphill climb all.
But you were playing catch up like that was.
You had been playing catch up all night, but then you're really then it's like
it had become a two possession game finally.
Yeah, and that. There will be all this focus on the 5-second call, and that's appropriate. I get it. Hell, over on ESPN right now, they were debating, did the Grizzlies lose this or did the Warriors take this?
Yes, yeah. Important right? question.
I do think, of those, I'm going to give the Warriors taking it the stronger than the Grizzlies losing it.
Yeah, I think in the end they made more plays.
Look what happened there. Steph gets 37 and Jimmy gets 38.
But in
Steph with the two massive threes down the stretch.
Like, yes, the Grizzlies made mistakes, but they also had to bury the Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies forced Steph to be Steph.
Yeah.
Like, without the Grizzlies, in, you know, gallant comeback, and it really was, you wouldn't, they forced Steph to make those plays. So I don't know. So here, fundamentally, Jeffrey,
half of Steph's threes came in the fourth quarter.
Take us, how did this game leave you? What was your primary emotion? How did this game leave you?
I think just in general irritated. And it wasn't even like, oh, I think the Grizzlies had that game and let it get away. Because I just don't. Like, I think the Warriors...
I never thought they were going to win. But I did, at various points, thought they had a chance to win.
Yeah. I thought things had to...
I was thinking they might win. I never like, damn, they got this. They're going to win. There was never a moment where I thought... They got this. They're going to win. But there were moments where I thought, my God, they just might win.
The Warriors had left enough doubt to where I go, all right, this is the type of game that you could actually steal.
Do you feel better or worse about the Grizzlies today or exactly the same than you did yesterday?
I feel exactly the same. But the problem is, so when you say, like, what was my lasting impression, it's irritation because in the end, I still think the biggest reason the Grizzlies lost is I think Ja, Jaren, and Dez showed up. I think the rest of the roster is bad.
Well, I guess maybe I should say this.
I'll take emotion. Instead of bad, I think the rest of the roster is in a position that no other playoff team would have.
I agree with that. So I'll say this, and maybe I'm Pollyanna. I feel better about the team today, just gradually. I did not. What's weird is that in the moment, that five-second call is absolutely crushing, and you feel demoralized. And in the end, that has kind of faded because I don't think they were probably going to make the three anyway, whatever else.
I mean, I think they would have gotten fouled.
So I am left with the... I'm left with the impression that they just busted their ass. Like, and as a Grizzlies, as you want wins. You want wins. That's what you want. And particularly where they are now in the trajectory of their build, you want wins and you want playoff series. But given the roster issues that were self-created and involved a lot of whiffs by the front office, and then were compounded by injury. And so given what they were up against last night, I thought it was a really admirable performance. There are lots of things to criticize, and we'll get to the things to criticize. But I don't feel awful today. In fact, how about this for a little bit of controversy, Jeffrey? I have been of the view that if they lost last night, I was of the view that I thought they should, I would prefer them to lose Friday and just end this thing because I don't need to see them lose to Oklahoma City four times and then lose their draft pick. Again, just to be totally clear, in case anyone is possibly confused about this, even when that was my view, I never thought the Grizzlies should do anything other than bust their ass to try to win Friday. And I wouldn't even ask him about that question because it's insulting. Of course they're going to try to win Friday. Of course they are. But as a fan, you are allowed to prefer one outcome or another. You are allowed to say, I want them to bust their ass and come up short because I don't need to see that series and I want them to keep their draft pick. And if they miss the playoffs, they keep the draft pick. Or you're allowed as a fan to think, no, I just want to be in the playoffs. I want playoffs, man. I want playoffs. I want a chance. And I've been firmly of the view that I kind of just prefer them to lose the game. And honestly, last night, I kind of changed my mind.
Okay, so here...
I'll tell you why I changed my mind. I changed my mind because... if they're going to bust their ass that hard, I don't want them to go out in demoralizing fashion in losing Friday. I don't want to lose that taste in them. I want them to at least get into the damn playoffs. Playoffs are fun. Maybe they can win a game. Maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander comes down on an ankle like Ja does. Like, who the hell knows? Like, so I've kind of changed. I'm like...
You're chipping a chair guy now?
I'm a little bit like, you know what? If they're going to gut it out in that way, it's kind of disrespectful of me to be hoping they lose. And so I'm going to honor their effort because I thought it was a hell of an effort. Not that they care what I want, but by thinking, you know what, just go ahead and beat the hell out of Sacramento or Dallas or whoever it is. And then whatever will happen in Oklahoma City will happen. I can talk myself in. Or at the very least, I'll be happy either way. But I don't want them to go out belly flopping Friday. I've changed my mind because of last night's performance, because of the level of passion that they very clearly poured into that game.
The issue with trying to decide like what's the best outcome is more times than not, one thing we never consider is the cultural impact.
That's true.
And where I struggled with what do I want is I do think when you start to have, when you get to a place where the result doesn't matter, and honestly, one of the big problems I had with this year is talked about.
Here's the other thing is if I want out of the playoffs,
yeah.
I don't want no money. Like, what happens? Like, we're at the point of this core where they can start to want out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I agree completely. Like, if they belly flop Friday, maybe it changes the way that the players think about the future, right? And so. So for those reasons, and of course, what we want makes no difference.
Right.
I am heartened by what they wanted because they emptied themselves.
This is when you ask, like, how did I feel? Part of the reason why I was irritated
was because they had brought spoons to a gunfight because the front office let them down.
Well, no, if they would have played like this
all year long. Oh yeah. There's no question.
Like
if they had wanted to win games that we felt like, again, they weren't this game.
Correct.
But there were big games along the way. Hell, that road trip that crushed them.
Absolutely.
10 games
had
to
they
go.
Showed up like this against Portland, they beat Portland by 20.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is my problem with this team. I think in these types of moments, they get up for it. But they don't get up. Like, I don't think I don't think you get this kind of effort. I don't think this team is as professional as they should be.
There were several polarizing.
Well, that was another irritation last night.
So Zach Edey was getting crushed on social media
and on television.
And that's another one. I feel better about Zach Edey today than I certainly did a month ago, and it's not even close. There's no question that on the offensive end, he's a disaster in ways that are completely mystifying.
Correct.
I saw him play at Purdue.
Yes.
And he was an unstoppable force. He was physical. He'd always make those shots. He'd dunk the damn ball. He was overpowering people. And yes, they're bigger, stronger, faster in the NBA. I just don't understand why he can't freaking dunk the ball, or why he's always bringing the ball down, or why he looks absolutely overwhelmed, not just physically, but emotionally in there. Like, what do I do? He's frozen. He's tentative. I don't understand how he can be that tentative and that inept offensively, given the dude that I saw at Purdue and given his physical advantages. It's kind of stunning that he's as inept right now as he is offensively.
I think it's a reminder that when you have great athletes and then they go and they struggle and they're used to, like, the things that used to come easy to them no longer come easy, I think it's a reminder of what a drain that is on them.
Having said that, when he wasn't in the game,
they had no chance.
Like, when he came out with the five fouls late in the second half, like, all of a sudden, Golden State is getting every damn offensive rebound. They had nobody on there who would rebound except for Zach Edey. Without Zach Edey, they're absolutely overwhelmed on the boards. He is deeply flawed or not complete yet as a player, and will always have weaknesses that come along with his immense size. But he was critical when he was not on the floor. They an imperfect stat, they won his minutes.
Yes.
When Zach was on the floor, they won his minutes. Even though he struggles to pass out of a double team, even though he struggles to convert, they win his
dunking
minutes. And it's to your point. The real problem is that outside of Jaren and Dez, They got a lot of players who shouldn't be in the positions that they're in. You shouldn't be necessarily counting on Zach Edey to be guarding Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And you know why he's guarding Jimmy Butler? Because you can't trust Jaren to guard Jimmy Butler because he's going to get in foul trouble.
Literally what he said, what Tomas said after the game.
Yeah. So you got to put your rookie, who is physically incapable of guarding Jimmy Butler, he's guarding playoff Jimmy because...
Playing
Jimmy because your all defensive center can't be trusted to guard him.
Yeah.
So I just think he is in a position that he should not be in. And he's Scottie Pippen Jr. played gallantly too. Like, he was fierce and he's been a revelation. Again, a lot of these dudes are in positions they shouldn't be in. I got to credit Chris Harrington, who I'll have later. If you've listened to Chris, he wondered whether Scottie Pippen would start. He did. And he wondered whether Luke Conchar would get some run here. And he did. John Conchar would get some run here. Now, Luke Conchar, that would be good if you could blend.
Yeah, if you could take the defense.
Right, right.
And then,
some of the rebounding and scrappiness and the shooting. I've just created Luke Conchar and John Conchar. But meanwhile, they're sufficiently deep. They've got Kuminga, DNP. So I'm with you on the roster. Now, on the subject of Jaren and Dez, yes, they were absolutely good enough to win that game. There is no question about that. Ja, even with the ankle, 22 points, and he was fierce. He was what you want Ja to be. Dez was tremendous.
God, what a possessed man last night. That's what...
Best Grizz on the court.
No question. But to me, it's like, what I care is about a desire to win.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I... That 100%. Is what partly won me over last night.
Yes, just...
That, like,
the thing is, though, there's just not enough of it.
There's not enough of it often enough. Jaren? 16-6?
Okay, so here's my theory on Jaren. When they've gone back to the offense that Ja's more comfortable with.
I struggle. What's happening? And that's a long-term question.
And it leaves Jaren oftentimes standing idle, and you think, oh, he's not playing hard. But that's what the offense ends up calling for.
He was 4 of 9 from three. Like, he hit threes. Here's the thing. And maybe this is no disrespect to Ja and Jaren, but in the last 6 minutes of the game, their stars are stars.
Yeah, they were.
In the last 6 minutes of the game, Jaren and Ja gave you no buckets and two turnovers.
And
now, Ja was hurt.
Ja was hurt, but also Ja wasn't feeling anything.
He wasn't feeling anything yet.
He took some apples.
Yeah, but he was still very clearly hampered by it.
I don't think he felt anything down the stretch.
He didn't seem to me like moving as he normally
correct.
Would have.
So the injury still exists.
Yes, it's still hampering him,
correct.
Even if he wasn't in extraordinary pain. You thought he was I'm not going to ask the pharmacist what
no,
he
was taking. It was Advils. You didn't hear Reggie Miller?
Right, he had taken a couple.
Oh, he's going for the Advil. Well, that was the other thing. People were going nuts when Isalo called for the challenge.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yeah. I didn't care because I knew exactly what he was doing. He was calling timeout, trying to buy time. The whole time, they're just looking at the bench, and they're trying to see if Jaws Advils had kicked in.
I think if you're looking at Isalo, obviously didn't have the challenge to challenge the Jimmy Butler foul, to the Scottie Pippen foul on Jimmy Butler. And so he didn't have the timeout and then the 5 second. And it is an interesting question as to whether those things, as you analyze it, whether he will be the coach going forward, will those things be demerits against him? And should they?
So my argument to that is it doesn't matter. whether or not it should or shouldn't. This is going to, we're solely going to find out. Organizations do what organizations want to do. And we're going to find out if they want him to be the coach.
Yeah, but even it, you can work this way. Let's say we don't know what the you and I all agree that fundamentally what matters the most is the way Ja Jerrinen does feel about him.
Yeah.
Right? Games like that can shape, I'm not saying determine, games like that can shape how they feel about someone.
That's true, but also...
And what happens next? All of this can help shape... Maybe they're already all in on him, or maybe they're out on him.
Let me go a little flip for you. They were down 12 out of the half.
Right.
And they came out, and they cut the margin pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so you can make the argument that is proverbial halftime adjustments.
Halftime adjustments.
Correct.
And they play hard for him.
And they came out, and they gave themselves a chance to win the game. And honestly, if you're being forthcoming with yourself, did you really feel like the team that was on the floor was equal to what you were seeing from the Warriors? And they gave themselves a chance to win the game.
No, yeah. I, that's why I really struggle with what... But fundamentally, I don't feel... I feel frustrated they lost, but I don't feel demoralized by it in the least. I felt more inspired than demoralized. Some of you all may feel differently.
I think the other thing that is also important to consider, historically, they match up pretty well with the Warriors. And part of why we feel the way we do is we put the Warriors in a good team category, and that's a team that they play well against.
They have been a good team. They have been a good team since the trade deadline.
Yeah, but a lot of that's also schedule.
Well, that's the thing. Are you going to feel better or worse after you get swept by Oklahoma City? Anyway, tonight you got the Kings and the Mavs, and we'll see who emerges.
I think it's right. Go Kings, go. Because I'm still terrified of Anthony Davis in a one game.
I guess Kings have beaten Dallas.
They beat them three times, but the problem with Dallas is there's a lot of, well, it requires context.
Vince Williams gets 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
Conchar had the role.
When you think about the wings that we thought would be relevant this year,
mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart, gone. Vince Williams, 2 minutes, 58 seconds. Gigi Jackson, DNP.
So this is the only, because I was not in the I'm smarter than everyone. I did take a subtle victory lap last night. I was very proud that when everyone was throwing out all of their reasons for why the Grizzlies were losing, no one said, well, if only Gigi were in.
No one did say that. Everyone has...
I was proud.
As a fan base, we have all come to realize that he has certain limitations at this point. By the way, it's Brad Carson's birthday today. At least Facebook says it is.
Happy birthday
to Brad Carson. Brad, they've reinstituted the fabulous segment that of which I'm envious, which is Fade Brad Carson segment. And last year, if you just picked the opposite picks that Brad made, you cashed in big.
It was something like 70%.
No, it wasn't that big. It was 59% maybe.
Well, so he got hot late?
Yeah. So, but last night, he picked Orlando to cover. I mean, he picked the Grizzlies and the points.
That's 2-0.
The dude is 2-0. You know what they say, Jeffrey.
Don't let Brad get hot.
Don't let Brad get hot. All right, let's just, we said this is going to be exposure therapy. It's part of what we do here. On Thursdays with Right of the Night Trivia, we try to uphold integrity and the importance of integrity in our community. But also, we also try to act as a therapist at various times. And so this is exposure therapy. This helps you, the more you, it's like, whatever, if you have a hard time getting on an airplane, the more you do it, you get on, or you imagine, vision yourself walking onto, you're hearing the engines fire up, whatever else, you sort of, the pain dulls over time. The anxiety dulls over time. This is our exposure therapy to trying to get past last night's demoralizing ending. We're going to come back with John Martin in a minute, but here, once again, is Eric Hasseltine on the call. Okay, so maybe you're not going to frame last night's game. That's possible. You're not going to, Yeah, and I got to take that last 5 second call and take it to the frame corner and say, but they probably could figure that out. They could. I bet they're skilled enough that they could frame audio somehow. I recently had someone contact me and say they were having the evidence of their hole in one. They're going to take that to the frame corner and have it framed. Frame corner has been doing this expert custom framing for 50 years. They also sell frames, but if you want something sort of preserved and displayed forever, haul it on into the frame corner and see what magic they can do with it. It's Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. John Martin joins me today. Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2. John, it's your producer's birthday today, at least Facebook says so, Brad Carson's birthday today. But you have this bit that you're doing with him, and I'm envious of the bit. It's Fade Brad Carson. People are supposed to pick the opposite of Brad's picks during the NBA playoffs and play-in, evidently. Your man, Brad, 2-0 last night. I was listening.
Well, technically 3-1, including his bonus bets.
Yeah, I wasn't counting those. The bonus bets were the bonus bets?
He had Trae Young under 27.5. He got 28. And then he had over ED 12.5 rebounds. He got 14, I think.
So what's going to happen? This could blow up in your face. You can lose a lot of people a lot of money if Brad stays hot.
Yeah, well, I thought last night was, in some ways, Magic was kind of easy, right? I mean, the Hawks are perennial mediocrity. And, the Grizz have been playing these games tough, melting down
late.
Is
that the side you would have taken if you had to bet?
Grizz plus 7. I would have taken, yes. I think I would have taken probably both of those sides. And he ended up going 2-0. But again, over a 6-week sample.
We can only hope that he starts to fall apart,
It'll get tough. It'll get tough when you start getting into game threes and game fours. Just trust me.
Okay. Grizz lost last night, obviously, we know. Why did they lose? What was the biggest reason they lost? Where are you pointing your finger today?
I'm going to be completely transparent. I fell asleep when they got down 20. I'm like, this
oh,
is it. Mad that I woke up and they made a nice little push, whatever. But
it was not a nice little push. Jeffrey, can we say that was disrespectful to call it a nice little push? It wasn't a nice little push. They came from 20 down to take the lead with minutes remaining.
So it was the lead.
It
fine.
Was with gallantly. Yes.
Yeah. But again, you're down 20. Why are you down 20?
You're down 20 because you turn the ball over like you're the Memphis Tigers or something.
Why would you decide to go down 20 points? I mean, what a terrible mistake.
Particularly when you're up 9 to begin with. They're up 9 and then they go down 20.
I mean, what the Grizzlies have shown is that, they can play these teams, very, very tough. I mean, they were leading the Warriors in that home game here with 3 minutes left.
By the way, technically not a 5 second call into that. Remember, they had to take a timeout and then they just threw it out of bounds on the second attempt.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah. They were leading by 15 against the Nuggets in Denver on the second night of a back to back. And leading, late into the fourth quarter before they went 6 minutes without a bucket. Obviously last night they were, so I don't know exactly what it is. Bane delivered last night. He gave you 30. I think it's just late game execution stuff. The 5 second call last night, obviously just brutal.
Hey, Jeffrey and I, more than the 5 second call. And to me, there are a couple questions with this team. There's a bunch of questions with this team going forward, right? But one of them is very clearly around the three stars, they're not good enough, right? You just don't. I find Edie's effort to be admirable. Other people are incredibly frustrated by his offensive struggles. But whether it's Edie or Pippen or Conchar out there playing last night or whatever it was, they got players in roles that they shouldn't necessarily be in if it's winning time for the Grizzlies. If this is a year that where aspirations were high, I'm not sure these players should be in the roles. But then the second question that I would ask you, John, is the core good enough? In other words, yeah, Bane was great last night, but you ask me, the key play was with 2:05 left, Grizzlies up two in transition, have a chance to tie, and Ja turns it over just inexplicably. Ended up with 5 turnovers. Grizzlies have 20 turnovers. And in the last 6 minutes of the game, John Jaren combined for 2 turnovers and 0 points. And then you got Jimmy Butler and Steph going for 38 and 37.
Yeah, it's probably not good enough, but this is as good as you could ever hope it could be.
That's the problem. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Would you like Steph? Of course, you would like to have had Steph, but you don't have him.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a time where we thought it would be. Let's not forget. Let's not forget how we were feeling 3 years ago. I mean, when there was
even
a 2-seed
at the beginning. Yeah, and good enough. What is good enough? You're exactly right. It may be good enough to win a championship. They're still, if they had better players around them, they're damn good. Those 3 players are damn good.
Yeah, I mean, you know. You know, the issue really becomes when you have to pay those guys.
And that's
all
the problem.
You know, and that's because it's like the quarterback problem, right, in the NFL. You know, it's great when you have that, like Jaden Daniels is on a rookie deal right now, so they get to go out and they get to go trade for Deebo Samuel and take on his contract. They get to go trade for all these guys and you know, sign these big-time free agents because they have Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract. Well, like, that's not going to be the case in 3 years. You know, they're not going to be able to do those same moves. You know, it's the same thing with the Grizzlies, who are now going to be, like, I know people love talking about the payroll, right? Their payroll is about to go way up.
Right.
Because they're about to have to pay Jaren a lot of money. And I know there's different, like, machinations. Like, they can do one deal and then do another deal, whatever the case may be. I'm not the salary cap expert, obviously, but their payroll is going to go way up. And so now you're going to be like all in on Ja, Jaren, and Desmond, and I, you know, what else do you really know for sure that you have?
Well, that's they failed to put enough good pieces around them at a time when it was much easier financially to put the good
yep.
pieces around them. And
that's
now
right.
It's going to be much harder to put the good pieces around them, and they still
yep.
have to figure out a way to put the good pieces around them.
Well,
now,
unless they're, you know, didn't they say they're willing to go into the tax? I mean,
yes, they're going to have to go into the tax. But maybe the good pieces around them, and maybe you agree or don't agree, like there is a school of thought that the good pieces around them, all they have to be is Zach Edey and Jalen Wells a year better.
Well, that is definitely logical. I think Jalen Wells, we should probably say we know is because he's going to get better. You know,
Edie's going to get better. Edie's going to get better.
The only issue is like he is a second round guy. So you know, is he not an all star? I mean, he's not going to be, you know. But can he be a, you know, 14-point-a-night guy
Thompson or something? He's not there is a physical capability ceiling on him, right? He doesn't have.
Right.
He doesn't have stratospheric athletic talent, and so there is.
But like, but you know, they don't really have like. I get, you know, what are you going to do with Scotty? Right? I mean, you obviously value him. So
he's your
I
backup
guess
point guard. He's your backup point guard.
Yeah.
I think actually that's pretty easy now. He should be your backup point guard.
Scotty does enough for you, but then it's like Vince out of the rotation last night. Like he has regressed. Gigi. Where is he?
If you look at the 3 wings that we thought were going to be, you know, who's going to get the minutes? Is it going to be Marcus Smart? Is it going to be Vince? Is it going to be Gigi? The answer is none of them. None of them.
And honestly, like, it's going to be tough for Gigi, man, because, like, I'm a believer in the NBA, you either have it or you don't. And, you know, I'm starting to lean more toward he was a beneficiary of a lost season. Somebody has to score the points, right?
Right.
And he was the beneficiary. And so, like, how do you go from being that to completely out of the rotation and out of the picture? And I know people will say youth, but it's a young man's league. Like, you know, guys come in and play early all the time. You know, so I just worry
Quentin
for him.
Quentin Post was lighting it up last night for the Warriors.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know,
people don't even know where he. You know, they don't even know anything about that guy. So I worry for him that his time has kind of come and gone already. I mean, I'm not writing him off completely, but right. I'm very pessimistic about him.
I don't think that the Jason and John show is big on Tomas Isolo. I think has been the vibe that I've picked up. Certainly from your co-host.
I'm pretty ambivalent. I mean, I could take him or leave him.
I haven't gotten a strong conviction from you.
Yeah.
But I do wonder. So last night had a challenge that felt like from the very beginning he wasn't going to hit, and then needed a challenge later and didn't have it. And then drew up a five-second play that, whatever, you can argue the players didn't react with a particular urgency or explosiveness. You could say Santi needs to let go of the ball, which he does, obviously. But, I mean, let's be honest. Coming out of a timeout, a five-second call on an inbounds, like that is not what you want your Hall of Fame coach.
Well, I mean, there was no way that Santi was going to be able to get that ball to Desmond Bane in the corner.
No way. No way.
Like, not without Jimmy picking it off. I mean, come on, man.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Isolo said after the game, well, it feels like he's, you know, there was a window. I never saw that window. I'll be honest. I never saw that window. Jimmy was going to pick that ball off.
I mean, it's basically like a damn 40-yard touchdown pass. I mean, you know, one-on-one. Santi going to be back there like Joe Burrow? I mean, it was a lot to ask, I thought. It was a variation of the stuff that Golden State does. They ran that play for Buddy Hield, although it wasn't in the corner. It was on the wing. You know, that's a lot different. But, no, I mean, I think the Grizzlies threw him into an incredibly difficult, if not impossible, situation. I don't know if they did that knowing that they wanted to hire him anyway and they were just going to get him some, like, free scars, some free trauma, you know? I don't know.
Loaded the trauma in advance.
Yeah, like, here you go. Don't worry. This is like, risk-free trauma. But, you know, when your first three games are Lakers, Celtics, and Warriors, you know, and you're trying to keep stop a falling knife from falling, I mean, I don't think anybody could have come in here under those circumstances and done well. So, you know, I think I've heard they, you know, do have interest in candidates, not from like super great, you know, like super strong, like.
No, yes, agree that they're going to be looking around at least.
Yeah. And so, and they should. I mean, I don't think he's done enough to make you say, oh, there needs to be no Moss, no search. Like, you got to do a search.
If the Grizzlies, if the goal is to win Friday, and very clearly for the organization and for the team, the goal is to win Friday, should they want Sacramento to win tonight or should they want Dallas? Who would the Grizzlies prefer to face if the goal is, and it surely is, to win Friday and advance into the 1-8 series against Oklahoma City?
I think they'd rather play Sacramento. I know that Dallas is the 10, but they have better players.
Just because Anthony Davis, basically?
Yeah, they have Anthony Davis. You know, they were in the finals last year with Gafford and P.J. Washington and Lively. Like, they just have better players. I guess Sacramento's got, what, LaVine? But I'm just – they're already on an interim coach there. Like, I would much rather play the Sacramento Kings than the Dallas Mavericks.
Tickets on sale, by the way, for that game. And what can you tell me about the Memphis Tigers and recruiting, John, since I have you on here real quick? Give me a little bit. Aaron Bradshaw visiting, supposedly?
Yeah, big man. 7-1, average 2 rebounds a game. But, again, you can be in the AAC and you can be an all-star, right? Like, that's the idea. But I will say this. Memphis should just pay P.J. Haggerty at this point.
That's 100%,
like,
yes.
Because they've given themselves that option, really, because Ashton Hardaway's coming here for free. Quante Berry's here on a cheap deal. Thedford's here on a cheap deal. You know, like, they have not committed really any money to anybody. And I just would ask, like, where else are you going to spend it? I think my objective now, knowing what the rest of the world looks like, let me just, you know, blow my load, so to speak. Sorry for that graphic imagery, but let me just do that with PJ Haggerty and live with the results, right? I mean, he's a consensus second-team All-American. Memphis has basically never been able to return a consensus second-team All-American. Let's just live with what we have with PJ Haggerty. Yeah, he's our best player. Let's pay him the bulk of our budget and live with what it is.
I take it you have very little hope that Dane Danger is returning, right?
Right. I mean, nobody around the country thinks he's getting away. Like,
right.
I've heard of his agents are reaching out to a bunch of schools, and but none of the schools believe that he has a chance, so they're not even wasting their time. So I would just spend most of my budget on PJ. If I got to go cheap around PJ, I got to go cheap around him, but at least I have him, and that's something. That's a lot. It's a lot to build on. So it seems like Memphis has set themselves up for that.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Jason and John every single day from 11 to 2. If you're selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. No upfront cost, flexible fees, let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. And you meet with them. That's what I did. I'd heard other people talking about him. I'd literally heard back when it was Mike and Mike, they used to do spots for Josh Hysaw. Then GP did. And so I certainly knew the name, but I'd never met with him until I started doing the spots. And then I'm here at the conference room, and he takes you through what he does to sell the house. And you're like, well, damn, why wouldn't I list with Josh Hysaw? Unbelievably good. And they have the, in addition to everything else, if this is the way you'd rather go, we'll make you a full price cash offer for your home and give you 4 months at that point. You don't have to get the house all set already. You don't have to pour money into fixing it up or showings or any of that nonsense. And then it'll give you up to 4 months to move. Make it simple on yourself. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams. 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. We'll talk to Chris Harrington on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.